Good evening. You're in tune to the Meeting of the Inner Circle, and this is Adama thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. And for those of you who are tuning into the Meeting of the Inner Circle for the very first time, I welcome you and pray that you're inspired and motivated to stay up, take a nap, do whatever you got to do so that you could be tuned in, turned on right here. Every Thursday night, midnight to 6 a.m. until further notice. And for those of you who are tuning via your phone apps, thank you for using your technology to your greater good. And for those of you who are tuning via the World Wide Web at WRFG.org, thank you for preferring to be right here with us than any other place on the planet. And for those of you who are the Inner Circle, the ones who make sure that you're always attuned to this frequency at this appointed time, I am so grateful and so thankful for you and your consistent listening and praying that you are consistently inspired, motivated, and determined to walk in the fullness of the all that you are as a living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal point of that absolute and supreme presence, whose presence is absolute and supreme, beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal, and to whom and to which and to all that I consciously commit my whole body, heart, mind, life, soul unto, so that I am always exalting it, its way, its laws, its love, its peace, its truth, its reality as the absolute reality. And there are no ones, regardless of how black or how white, how rich or how whatever, who can outthink it, outlast it, outplan it, outplot it, outdo it. The best we could do is to harmonize ourselves with it. And I am encouraging you to care to do that, because there is a global initiative that is depopulation and genocide. And these people want you to think that you can enjoy eating and consuming that which has nothing that your body needs, that your food does not have to be good for you, that it can just be good to your taste buds, and it could be cellularly oppressive, constipating, poisoning, all of that, and you can feel good about eating it because you have to die from something anyway. And I'm saying, let's not get into the death by stupidity frequency. You understand? You were given life. We're already in the realm of eternity. And so I'm encouraging you to remember that that which breathes you and that which beats your heart has endured your abuse and violation of yourself, of its gift unto you. And now we're in a place and space where your body's beginning to tell on you with the aches and the pains and the palpitations and all of the stuff that you all are experiencing as a result of having been fed all of this acidifying, intoxicating, inebriating, violating, behavior-modifying stuff that they want to call food that is really not nourishing, nutritious. It has nothing that we really, really need. And we're in a place and space where we have to realize that when we feed our children all of this stuff, that we really undermine them. And we cannot really have any real wealth or prosperity when we are out of alignment with that which is duty, obligation, and responsibility as men, the progenitor of the lineages, and wombed men, the perpetuator of our lineages. And to not do that, to not do it well, to not know how to do it, to not have been educated to understand duty, obligation, and responsibility in what is destiny. I mean, this is what we were destined to do. And for those who have not borne children through their own loins or wombs, you still have sisters and brothers, nieces and nephews, grandchildren, or you've married ones who have children. And I'm just saying is that duty, obligation, and responsibility as men and wombed men is in the exaltation of life, the perpetuation of lineages, the duty, obligation to glorify and honor the lineages that we represent. But no one can be authorized, licensed, certified, degreed to be the perpetuators of sickness, illness, disease, and death as popular and common activity, collective learning and education, and the path of prosperity and truly prosper. Because there is law that governs everything, and so there is law that governs our prosperity also. And that which is true prosperity is our consistent application to developing the wealth of ourselves and self-actualizing, self-realizing, and consciously caring to be harmonized with the will of existence, the ways of existence, the laws of existence, and being true to that which is the order of existence, the harmony and the oneness of being, of all being. And now we're in a place where we have to get very serious about our living and to understand that you are the God or the goddess that dwells in that temple, and that the methodology of our oppression at the cellular level requires our commitment to liberation that has to happen at the cellular level. And so freeing up from the inside out, regardless of what your job titles are, who signs your paychecks, what you do to generate an income, you are here to serve the purposes of life first and foremost. And where the error has been in the system of things is to sign off on creating the systems of sickness, illness, disease, and death as prosperity and livelihood. And to not understand that there is no good that comes from it. That yes, we may have received degrees from the so-called higher echelons of education in the colleges and university systems to be able to matriculate through the whatever curriculums and then come out and be able to get jobs. But the jobs that we have, when we were never properly fed, nurtured, nourished, or cultivated to understand inherent duty, obligation, and responsibility and being on the planet, means that after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of employment or changing jobs to generate money to pay for food, clothing, shelter, utilities, entertainment, and all of the things that we spend money on, at the end of that life, there is death. And we've accepted that. And I'm saying that there is no end to life and we should not be dying. But if you live your entire life without a care, without a conscientiousness to sit with yourself, to think and consider and contemplate the issues of existence itself, to look at yourself and really determine for yourself the substance and the quality of being that you aspire towards, not just the income bracket or the tax bracket that you want to be in, but to really get to a point of real clarity about how you care to be as man, as woman, as mother, as father, as husband, as wife, as this point of this absolute and supreme intelligence, that self-evaluation, that self-knowing, that self-reflection and introspection is a requisite for really attuning, realigning, and being restored in the integrity of yourself. There are many who can say, well, I lost myself in this relationship. I lost myself with my career objectives. I've lost myself in this, that, or the other. But the whole intention of the system is to make sure that you never find yourself, that you've lost and you are chasing money, chasing dreams, chasing things, when you are already held completely immersed in the reality of this absolute and supreme presence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. And in all of your chasing, in all of your getting, in all of your acquiring, in all of your working, in all of your matriculating, in all of that which you do, you are the greatest gift that you will ever have. And there is nothing that you can work for, beg, borrow, steal, be awarded or rewarded that is greater than you. And if you truly realize that as truth, then you would not invest more money in your cars than you do yourself. And even to keep your cars running, it requires consistent maintenance, providing the fuel that will give you the greatest degree of performance. But we do not have that kind of care about our own body temples or our children. And no matter what is going on in the world, until each individual one of us is completely committed to being whole and being in the integrity of who we are as these points of this absolute and supreme intelligence, to understand that there is no such thing as an unconscious person. Everybody is conscious of something, but there is the evidence that there are those who are not truly loving and honoring the gift that they have been given, that is life. And in the gift of life, we have been given inheritance and heritage that is in us, not that can be poured upon us, but that which is already in us, that our education, our religious training, everything should have worked towards our unfoldment. The society, the cultures, the institutions that have taken responsibility to give us an orientation as to what life is and what success in life is, they should have taken the time to get real clear about that for themselves before they ended up trying to influence everything and everybody else and lead them into a path of lawlessness, when absolute law governs absolutely everything. And those of us who are in this day and time, it is now our duty, obligation, and responsibility to exalt it, to walk in it, to realign ourselves with it, to have an understanding and an understanding to the personal degrees of power that we have, to create and recreate ourselves, our lives, and to be conscientious about the impact and effect that we are having in life on other ones. The degree to which we care to honor life, the degree to which we care to be in the integrity of who and what we are as intelligences of existence, the degree to which we will apply ourselves towards being vivid in our own self-representation as these points of this absolute and supreme intelligence, this is the greatest political consciousness that is possible. And right now we have those who are in government who have mastered certain degrees of application towards particular things, but it does not mean that they can lead you to your light, when they themselves have not functioned in harmony with the laws of existence to be consistently exalting the light, to know that the light is that which has the right to triumph, that the light is the only victory and sovereignty possible over all of the ignorance and the ignorance and the stupidity and the wickedness and the sinfulness and the oblivion and the gloom and the oppression and the depression and the warfare and all of this, when these people are generating money at the expense of nations and races and species upon the planet, then understand these are not the ones that we should be looking for leadership in government, when they're leading you directly to hell and to an early grave, when you should not even have a grave as your destiny or your fate. But when you follow them, when you apply so much of your time and your attention towards them and what they say and what they do to even greater degrees than you acknowledge the wealth of yourself, and you develop the wealth of yourself, where you even appreciate that which is an essential for your life, which is your breath and the beating of your heart and the sun that shines. The sun has been blazing. You understand? And if it were to God to die and go out, we as a planet and as a planetary people would cease to live, because this sun is the light of our world. But then these ones have put you in a position where you think that the life of someone whose life was given to us as a story, that his life was the light of the world, but the world is still going. And the sun is still blazing and shining, and nobody can estimate or guesstimate how long it's been blazing. But we know that that's something that we've come to depend upon, and we trust it. Even though we may put on our sunglasses, sunshades, sunscreen, sunblock, go into the air conditioner, can't stand the sun, don't want the sun to be burning our skin because we think that the sun is going to give us cancer. But it's the flesh of the dead animals that are rotting in your intestines and rotting in your body and the acidity and whatnot that is exacerbated with the heat of the sun. You understand, in terms of the putrefaction process that is creating the cancer. It's not the sun. But is that what you're reaching for? So we have to come to a place where we really are having an understanding, an understanding as to what the real issues are and what the real root of our sickness, illness, and disease is, and to do something and to do that which is an essential for reversing those issues, nipping it in the bud, as we refer to that process of getting clear about what is required and doing what is required. But you have to care to do something different. You have to care and love yourself enough to admit where you are undermining yourself, because you cannot complain, or you can complain, but you have no, your complaints will lead you to no real proper response, where you will not take and make better choices on a daily basis that will enhance, enrich, uplift, inspire, motivate, and give you a greater leverage in clearing, cleansing, purifying, and being renewed in the light of the truth of that which you really are as a living intelligence, as one who is completely immersed in absolute and supreme reality that is divinity, and that everything that you have that is yours, you are experiencing it. And for whatever else we may go out and get and possess and have, we only have it for a little bit of time, but we are with ourselves regardless. And people are losing and have lost themselves to the degree to which they really have no purpose in being. And they are engaged on a daily basis in doing things that undermine their right to exist, because they are enjoying the lawlessness or being out of alignment with duty, obligation, purpose, responsibility to exalt life, to consciously care, to cultivate oneself, to take responsibility for being able to respond correctly and directly in any and every now moment, in creating a greater good, a greater wellness, a greater wholeness, to be a vehicle and vessel of supreme intelligence, so that you are showing up wherever you are showing up and being an enhancement in whatever the situation and circumstance is towards the greater good. But when we have a society where a man can beat a woman nearly to death and nobody intervene, then it's a problem. When we are in a society where people will gather and pay money to see people beat each other up in the boxing and the wrestling, you understand? It's a problem. But we've come to look at it as entertainment and sport. That a man can make more money, generate more money by knocking another man down, beating him till he's bloody and next to death, and generate more income doing that than any occupation that he could have gotten a degree from any college or university. there's a problem and a sickness in the whole society. And those who love this are generally the ones who are signing off and saying it's okay for other beings to be mistreated, slaughtered, poisoned, cut up, have their body parts cut up and then fed to you as food. Whether it's hot dogs or hamburgers or spam or lunch meats or deli meats or whatever, to rejoice in your ability to feed off the flesh of other creatures is a glorified form of cannibalism that literally creates all manners of sickness, illness, and disease. But it is so popularly participated with that all of your celebrations, or all of their celebrations, call for the burning of flesh, the barbecue, the grill. You understand? So I'm just saying is that if you pull away from it and just look at it, you will see literally how bizarre it really is. But it's so common now that we don't question it. But now that you see how much obesity there is, where 8 out of 10 people are overweight. And that's children, that's people of all hues. This is affecting absolutely every hue of people, every ethnicity of people, every nation and race of people are dealing with this because the corporate entities and deities of death have had an intention to be global. And so in whatever language, the colors, the symbolism, the shape of their bottles, their logos and whatnot are recognized all over the world. But what is not recognized with them is that these are the corporate entities and deities of death. These are the forces of the devil at work. But because people get up and work for these companies, people that you know, yourself included, perhaps people that you love and whatnot, we divorce ourselves from seeing that these are the things that are having to be checked, because no one can be authorized by the will of existence, the laws of existence, to be the perpetuators of that which creates cellular oppression, sickness, illness, disease, and death as a livelihood and truly prosper. Because the way that the laws function is that your harvest will be consistent with the quality and the nature of the seed that you have sown. So where you are sowing the seeds for sickness, illness, and disease, then your harvest is not millions of dollars and being millions and billionaires, even though you may have that because you took whatever money you got from investment in these companies and you invested in those companies and you invested in these companies, but it does not alleviate or circumvent or absolve you of the karmic debt for your participation in the systems of oppression and the businesses that perpetuate sickness, illness, disease, and death. Because this is not the way of life. It is not the will of the creator, the intelligence of existence, for so many parts of itself, so many ones of itself, to kill these ones of itself, to prosper these ones of itself. When there's only the one intelligence that breathes absolutely everything, it's the intelligence of absolutely everything. It sees through every eye. It is the center of all beings. And so as we are realizing or allowing the real eye to really see itself as all there is, then when we have the sense enough, the care enough, the attentiveness enough, the concern enough to do nothing to undermine ourselves, then we begin to get leverage over a system that intends to defile the temples of the true spirits of the living God and Goddess. A system of government, religion, miseducation, culture, entertainment that perpetuates and exalts lawlessness, wickedness, sinfulness, evil, and death. And this is what we have access to with every flip of the channel, every push of the button. We're in a now moment that requires us to care, to live our lives, not to die our lives. We're in a now moment that requires us to have an understanding and an understanding that your exodus is imminent. That where you have a global population that have lost sight and have lost their inherent purpose for being upon the planet, then you're dealing with a people who literally have nothing else to lose. Because 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years upon the planet, without ever self-realizing, self-actualizing, harmonizing one's will with the ways of existence, the laws of existence, and having fed on the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, and all manners of artificial colors, artificial flavors, NutraSweet, aspartame, Equal, and all of this stuff, the destiny of that is death. But the question is, how long will you be dead in the realm of eternity? And if you leave the planet as a dead person, will you have a better opportunity through the windows and the doors of reincarnation, as so many think, that they can throw themselves away in this life and come back again for another try? But to be in such degrees of degradation and deprivation and starvation and deficiency and moral turpitude, and being in the place where you never applied yourself wholeheartedly towards being whole, then you may not come back with what you even left with. You may have less to work with. But either way, you are the one who has to really take time to consider for yourself, what do you want with your life? How do you really care to live the rest of your life? Do you really want to keep to working by the sweat of your brow? What happens if you hurt yourself? What happens when you are in a place where the acidity, the toxicity, all of this stuff has worked to the degree to which you've had heart attacks and strokes and this and that, and you can't work anymore? And so we cannot take lightly the reality that we are being behaviorally modified to be unable to respond to being under siege, where all other intelligences, from the virus to the bacteria to the gnat to the mosquito to the birds to the bees to the whales, it doesn't matter, all beings exalt a full life's urge. They know their food, they know their food, they excrete their waste, they know their kind, they perpetuate themselves. And they do respond when they sense that their lives are being threatened. How do we know our behavior has been modified? Because you feel entitled to be doing everything that undermines not only the quality of your life, but the sanctity of the functioning of every fiber and cell of your being, your brain cells, your liver cells, your kidney cells. You are undermining your gifts, your gift, your life, your heart, your organs, your glands. And so therefore, as long as you are a detriment to yourself, then you have no protection, and there's no protection that you can provide for your families. when you are not doing that which is yours to do, and honoring the gifts, and knowing that you are your greatest gift, and the greater ones, the greater gift to you would be your children, and therefore, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Therefore, we are not in a place and position where we can continue to perpetuate all of this artificial food and artificial flavor and artificial colorings and artificial this, creating an artificial people, a people who are inauthentic, a people who are steeped in vanity, steeped in that which is superficiality, unresponsive. And not responding appropriately to being under a global initiative that is depopulation and genocide. It is your time to really look at it, to see it for what it is, and to raise completely up so that you are no longer participating by being a detriment to yourself, yourselves, and everyone else. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal. Good evening. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. For those of you who are tuning into the meeting of the inner circle for the very first time, I welcome you and pray that you're inspired to meet me here every Thursday night. And for those of you who are my inner circle, the ones who make sure that you're always attuned to this frequency at this appointed time, I am so grateful and so thankful, and pray that you are always receiving more inspiration to use the inspiration to do that which is yours to do in becoming some of the most dynamic spirits on the planet as a result of all of that dynamic spirits on the planet that we all have been graciously blessed by. We're in a now moment of eternity. It requires us to realize that those of us who are living now should be some of the greatest spirits on the planet because of all of the great ones that have come before us. But in all of the getting that we are achieving, greatness is not really where so many of us are focused, where we could refocus. It's not going to hurt us to ask for that, to care to be in that light. Why? Because all of the nice polished wood, metal and stone, all of the cars and the jobs and the fancy houses and the gated communities and all of that means nothing when we are dying in greater and greater numbers, when we have so many ones who are carrying so much extra weight and waste in their systems that you can tell that they don't feel well. You understand, we're in a place and space where this pandemic of sickness, illness, and disease is literally sickening, okay? And we need to stop participating in our own demise. And a lot of people want to soft shoe and act as if we are not the ones that we are, and we do not have any duty and obligation greater than doing whatever the hell we want to do the way we want to do it. And challenge anybody else to say anything about it. But when you have those who have no love and those who have no light, those who have no wisdom and those who have no truth, who are vying for selection and election to positions to influence you, to create statutes and agreements and what they call laws that will impact and affect you, then it matters that you are doing what's in your own best interest, because nothing that you do is going to make sense if you don't know how to take care of yourself and if you don't know how to take care of your children. For those of you who have children and grandchildren. But wherever we are in terms of our care to be in business, to be self-employed, or to be working jobs, or to be in ministry or administration or whatever our talents, skills, and abilities will allow us to participate at whatever level. The issue is that if you are not well, then that means you cannot really do your best work. And I don't really see how any of the companies are truly prospering if they have a company of sick people. And then they have all of the vending machines that have all of this sandwiches, you know, the dead flesh of animals with cheese and white bread and all kinds of stuff in these places that really, it's garbage. You understand? And those ones who are working every day to put forward or put into the market garbage, that which has absolutely no nutritional value, has nothing that the body needs, is full of all kinds of preservatives and additives and all of this, then we have to come to a point and place where we realize that that's not what we're purposed in life to do. You're doing it because you have a job, but the job that you have that is not fulfillment of purpose in terms of your self-realization, your self-actualization, who you are by virtue of the lineages that you represent, then there's a greater prosperity for you. And that greater prosperity is in the richness of yourself, is in the resubstantiation and the continued enhancement of the beings that you truly are. And we will never have anything that is greater than who and what we already are, so that our purpose in being is to exalt life, is to self-realize and do that which is ours to do on behalf of the lineages that we represent, those that we have come through, those that have come through us, those that we didn't allow to come, and those who've yet to come. That as we have matured from being toddlers and from infants to toddling to being children to being pubescents and adolescents and what we refer to as young adults, that I would prefer to refer to as maturing men and women, that we have duty obligation to life itself. And because we didn't get that orientation in our education, in our religious training, and in our socialization, then we have to individually apply ourselves to it, because the system has not created a greater way for our progression, which is why we're not in progression. And though we have so much more access to so much more, that we have been complicit and complacent in creating less of ourselves in the procurement and the acquisition of the more of those things that we have. But to have more and more disease, more and more despair, more and more depression, more and more anxiety, more and more of the sickness and illness and all of that, that really creates a hellacious living, even though you are already in paradise, you are already in the realm of eternity, you are already in heaven. But to have the experience of going through hell is because of what you're choosing. It's because of how you're thinking. It's because of what you've allowed to come into you in terms of your consciousness, your mindset, the way that you think or the way that you're not thinking, but in what we're consuming. In the conversations that they had in the academic environment in college, and whatnot, in psychology and sociology, as to what are the primary factors that lay foundation for the greatness of a person. Whether is it heredity? Is it environment? Is it culture? Is it academia? Is it education? And they never really ever got to the point of knowing that your first environment that is going to truly impact and affect you is your body. And so generally when you are asked, where do you live? You will say what county you live in, what part of town you live in, what neighborhood or community you live in. But literally, we live in our bodies. And our bodies are the temples for the true dwelling of the real spirit, the true spirit of the living God and Goddess. And it is the work of the forces of those that we have been heard of called Satan, or Satan, Lucifer, and the devil. It is the conspiracy of those forces to make sure that the temples of God are defiled. And that those temples are being robbed of their treasures, just like they have gone through and robbed the tombs of Kemet, you know, have robbed the graves of these ones, have robbed this and robbed that. They are literally robbing the temples of God, of its treasures, of its life force, of your capacity to realize the truth of who you are and to actualize in the light of that truth in being a living, intelligent, potent, and immortal point of absolute and supreme presence, whose responsibility it is to be able to respond correctly and directly in any and every now moment as absolute and supreme intelligence. And to have an understanding and an understanding that the purpose in life is to be standing absolutely and resolutely with the intelligence of existence, the laws of existence, and that which allows you to stand. But our feeling entitled to be out of alignment because we were born in sin and our nature is sinful and Jesus was the only perfect one and after Muhammad there would be no other ones, then you are really in a place where you won't actualize because each generation should become more dynamic than the previous ones. But when you're being inebriated, anesthetized, dumbed down, stupefied, and oppressed at the cellular level, then it is a very arduous process to regain yourself. It becomes next to impossible to be able to control yourself, to be in a place where you are not enslaved to your own appetites and desires, to be in a place where you are filled with love, light, wisdom, truth, peace, poise, power, potency, creativity, ingenuity, genius, and all of that which was destiny, all of that which is your birthright as a result of being this one, the living, intelligent, potent, and immortal point of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. It is absolutely supreme. It is all pervasive. It fills all spaces. And we feel that we are supposedly or supposed to be working on behalf of a system that perpetuates sickness, illness, disease, death, divisiveness, divorce, and all of this garbage and stupidity. Stupidity being that condition of mindset where you know you are not correct and you don't care to correct. You don't care to be in right alignment with the truth of yourself. You would prefer to be in violation. You would prefer to be inebriated, intoxicated. You would prefer to be filled with all manners of maggots and worms and parasites and this and that because you have a taste for flesh. You have a taste for death. You would like it in all of the cheesy and all of the sauces and all of those things that make it taste good, but you yourself don't care to be good. You don't care to be in your light. You don't care to be in the truth. Self-reflection and self-respect and self-esteem and self-worthiness and self-deservedness of who you are as this point of the presence of God. You would prefer to be divided within yourself. You would prefer to be dying than to claiming your rights to life and to eternal life. That's a trick and that's a program. That would not be anybody's natural choice. And for those who choose it, it's because we have been under the spell of those who would have us in a place where we are able to be controlled. We are able or not able to walk in the fullness of our own authenticity, in the light and the truth of the ones that we truly are. And there are so many ones who feel so good because of what they've accomplished in terms of their socioeconomic status, their tax brackets, the success within their businesses and their money-making ventures and whatnot, and those who do not feel good about themselves because they have not had success in these particular areas. And the reality for me is to know that when you are in right alignment with the truth of yourself, that is the real success, and that lays foundation for all other success. The greatest one or the ultimate one being successful consistently over time in exalting a full life's urge and doing that which is truly in your own best interest. For that's how you truly mature. But our socialization upon the path of adulteration, that path leads to death. And though there are those ones who say, well, there is no death. And I would say, well, that's supposed to be the truth, but the reality of it is we were told the wages of sin is death. And then we have all of this preoccupation with death and killing and eating of that which has been killed, the flesh of dead things. You understand? So that death is a reality in light of and in spite of our being in the realm of eternity, that there is still a death, that people are living, they're dying, that they are coming to a point where their cells will no longer regenerate, that their spirits are weighed down from the amount of accumulation and contraindication of behavior-modifying chemicals that are colorless, odorless, and tasteless that came into their systems via the meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, fish, flesh, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, and those things that are cellularly oppressive. So that the whole being has been oppressed. And so the life that leads to life is a different life than the life that leads to death. And because we are dealing with a system that supports us in being glib about having the right to die, or say, they say they have the right to kill you, but you don't have the right to kill yourself. If you kill yourself, then they try to intervene. But all death is suicide in the sense that we are these points of an absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. And we're here to harmonize with it, to really be in reverence and respect and worship and obedience and obeyance unto it. And that this is the path, this is the way, this is the exalted walk that allows us to avoid the pitfalls and the traps of the satanic and Luciferian and the devilish ones, who would have us in a place where we're addicted to all of these things that undermine the integrity of the beings that we are, undermine our right alignment, our right use, our right choice, our being in a place where we are walking in the fullness of the integrity of our truth as vehicles and vessels of absolute love and absolute light and absolute wisdom. To be held in a perfect peace and a perfect poise, to know that we have the ability to tap into the unseen realms, to be vehicles and vessels of absolute and supreme intelligence, to be able to think and know, to be able to consider and contemplate and come to a point and place where we are able to come forward with the solutions to the problems and the answers to the questions and to lay a greater foundation for the progression of our lineages, which is duty and obligation as men, the progenitor of lineages, and women, the perpetuator of lineages of people. But these people have you in a place and space where you feel entitled to be killing yourselves, entitled to be anesthetizing and inebriating and intoxicating yourself, feeling as though you have no other purpose in life than to indulge yourself in whatever appetites, whatever floats your boat, baby. And it would be fine if you were in that mindset where you were making right choices that really supported your life and the consistent and continuous regeneration of every fiber of your being through optimum cellular functioning, through knowing how to cleanse yourself and feed and nourish yourselves and be in a place where you are exalting a full life's urge. Then when you are in that degree of integrity with duty, obligation as a being to be a vehicle and vessel of life everlasting, then whatever you do would be fine because you have gotten to the point where you have weeded out the opportunity or the desire or the inclination to choose that which undermines yourself, yourselves, or anyone else. And so when you get to that point in place where you can't do wrong, then you have the greatest degrees of liberation, because anything that you could think to do would be quite all right. And there's nothing that you're supposed to do except continue to grow and unfold and rejoice in the blessedness of your being. And that's where you have the freedom of choice and the freedom of will. But where you are complicit and complacent with your own annihilation, your own cellular degeneration, your own mental and spiritual subjugation and domination and bastardization and usurpation, then you are in a place where you have to exalt a full effort to be restored, to be renewed, to be realigned, to be completely cleared and cleansed, purified, rebirth, regenerated, rejuvenated, revitalized, made whole, healed. And to know that whatever the situation and circumstance that you have created as a result of being under the influences of church and religion and politics and politrics and capitalism and games and all of these things, then when you decide that you will be in obedience and obeyance unto absolute love, law, wisdom, truth, peace, poise, power, and potency, where you will consciously seek to do that which is truly in your own best interest in exalting a full life's urge, where you care to honor and glorify the legacy of the lineages that you represent, where you care to walk the exalted walk so that you are maturing into a righteous eldership, where you have the wisdom and light to say what goes and what needs to happen on behalf of generations that are present and generations who've yet to come. You understand? Then that's how we have leverage, where you have the care to put yourself first, to invest in yourself, to really be in a place where you are a glory unto that which you refer to as God, and you're not making excuses as to why you can't be so righteous. The culture that we're in is a death culture. It exalts killing. It exalts death. It exalts all of the weaponry of death. It has created death industries and promoted them as if it's the only way to live, is to be killing yourself, is to be dying. And it's a problem because we have millions of people that affect billions of people that are all on this cataclysmic ride with demise. But yet, you rhetoricize and philosophize and intellectualize and call upon God, but you don't care to be God. You don't care to be godly. And under a system of Satanism and Luciferianism and wickedness, then godliness is the only thing that can triumph over it. And it takes an overwhelming amount of right alignment. It takes an overwhelming amount of love to really heal all of the divisiveness and the separateness and the gaps between the generations, the inability to communicate, the tendency towards superficiality, we have to dig deep within the very essence of ourselves to get to that place where we are really just pure love and pure light. We have to dig deep to get beyond all of the distortion and the degradation and the programming. We have to dig deep to get to that place where it is just pure God in us, as us, and we have to care to rise to meet it. And to know that there is no salvation in giving lip service where you will not serve, and where you will not be mindful of what you're bringing to your lips and allowing to slide down your throat and to be permeated and penetrated in every fiber of your being with that which is poison to you. And just because it doesn't kill you outright doesn't mean that it isn't harmful. And when we take personal responsibility to mind our minds, to mind our bodies, to mind our hearts, to tend to the gardens of our minds, to develop ourselves, to commit to enhancing and clearing, cleansing, and purifying ourselves, when we do that work, that's how we come together. That's how we harmonize. It's not about black this and black that. It's about light beings. It's about caring to be in the integrity of the divinity of existence itself, and to respect all beings. As intelligent beings, and to know that the intelligence of existence is so intelligent that it has not authorized so many of itself over here to defile, desecrate, bastardize, and usurp and devastate so many of itself over here, so that these ones over here can be feeding off of their carcasses, their body fluids, and their progeny and whatnot, so that these ones over there can be making money. And then those ones over there are getting paid for managing the disease that these ones over here are creating at the detriment of those ones over there that swim and fly and creep and crawl and bellow and scream and holler and are devastated when they realize that they're being slaughtered. The inhumaneness, the inhumanity of man or mankind against life and against creatures and Mother Earth can only be met with the fulfillment of karmic debt that ends in death. And where one has been in violation of the primary laws of existence, where one lived their lives without acknowledging that there was law in existence, where you lived and never applied yourself to purpose in existence by virtue of what the intelligence of existence intended for itself as you, where you were not knocking and asking and seeking and attuning to that which was yours in honoring the gift that you were given with your own very life, with each and every breath and every beat of your heart, then you won't have the full benefit of having done that work, because that is the true work that allows you to rejoice in the fullness of the true blessedness in being. And to understand that happiness is really a reaction of the spirit when it is performing in light, knowing that light is able to know itself as light, as the creator's will, as that which is a blessing unto the whole, as to that which is an enhancement, an enrichment, that which facilitates a greater good, a greater wellness, a greater wholeness. Everything doesn't do that. You understand, there are those corporate entities and deities of death that promote their products on every shelf, up and down the streets, in every community, on every corner. And those products are literally the tools of Satan, Lucifer, and the devil, because they are creating cellular oppression, divisiveness within yourself, where you as an individual should be indivisible. You should strive for your wholeness, and you should allow to know that duty, obligation, and responsibility is to facilitate your wholeness. And as we are successful in exalting a full life's urge, doing nothing to undermine ourselves, coming to a point and place where we are reaching for that information, that knowledge, that wisdom, that light that allows us to be cleared and cleansed from the violations, to be forgiving and forgiving of ourselves, and to be accepting of the renewal and rebirth that comes with caring to be cleansed and purified and doing that inner work. daily. Then you have the opportunity to tap into that divine mind, the unseen realm, where the ingenuity and the genius, the talents, the skills, the abilities, all of that which you are comes to expression in this life. And that you're not dying and you're not aging, but you're maturing graciously and dynamically and beautifully and awesomely, prosperously, profoundly, being a blessing unto all that you touch, everywhere that you show up. We're in a now moment that requires each of us to care to be the ones that we are, to be an even greater blessing, to dig deeper, to reach higher, to stand on behalf of life, to be fully engaged in rejoicing, delighting, celebrating with each and every breath and every beat of our heart, the gift of life, because you'll never have anything greater. It's for you to decide to be the great one that you are. And in this now moment, it's needed. You're needed right now. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal.